I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for another day that you have blessed us, that you have kept us, and that you have allowed us to see. Thank you for your hand of mercy, dear God, that's upon us when we wake up in the morning, when we lay down at night. And Lord God, as we continue throughout our days, we just give your name the praise, oh God, for just being all that we need on today. You are the blesser. You are the sustainer. You are the life giver. You are the way maker. Lord God, you are the mind regulator. Lord God, you're the one, Father. Oh, Lord God, that gives us peace, that gives us joy, that gives us hope, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord, and bless your holy name for who you are. But there's nobody who is worthy on today. There's nobody, Lord God, who is worthy of all the praise. And Lord God, I just thank you for this time and opportunity, Lord God, just to lift up my voice to you and give you the fruit of my lips, Lord God, which is the praise. Lord God, have your way on today. I pray that you would meet the needs of your people. Lord God, touch one by one and name by name, according to every family member represented on today. Lord God, you know, Father, what we stand in need of, even before we ask. And Lord God, we give everything to you today, knowing that you can handle every burden, Lord God. You can handle, Lord God, every disappointment and pain. Lord God, you're the lifter of our head. You're the best friend that we could ever have. And Lord God, we can look no further, Lord God, except up. And Lord God, I thank you for being there. I thank you, Lord God, for not failing us. I thank you, Lord God, for always, Lord God, being, Lord God, ever present. Lord God, hallelujah, when we need you. And Lord God, I pray and ask of you, Lord God, this day, Lord God, that you would encourage hearts and minds. And Lord God, speak to your people, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord God, and keep them, Lord God, with the mind and the will to do. We know, Lord God, that these are troubled times and perilous times. But Lord God, in you, Lord God, we have hope. And I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would have your way in the word. Speak to our hearts and minds. And Lord God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be found acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Lord God, we thank you. Hallelujah, and we praise you, Lord God, on today. Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody ought to praise the Lord. Amen. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and just ever so grateful. Amen. Just to be able to come before you and grateful for the life that the Lord has given me, and grateful just to know, amen, that in Him we have a purpose. Glory to God. And some people may say, well, I don't know what my purpose is, or why He even want to deal with someone like me. Amen. But the goodness of the Lord is, amen, that He came to save, to heal, and to forgive. Glory to God. And I truly thank God for sending His precious Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Of which, if He had not sent His Son, none of us would be able to escape eternal damnation. But He made a way. Hallelujah. When there was no way. Hallelujah. And so we all have the right to give Him the praise on today. And I just thank God. I greet you in love and in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you know, I've met some people along the way, especially in outreach, and you know, being in Newark, New Jersey, amen, that's where I'm from. You know, we encounter all kinds of people from different walks of life, and I'm sure it's no different in Newark, New Jersey than anywhere. You know, but in ministering to people, we oftentimes would meet some who felt as though God did not want them, couldn't possibly love them. But we had to remind them and give them the good news that Jesus died for them too. And none of us came to Him perfect, unscathed, flawless. You know, many of us that came to Him, we came with baggage. Amen. We came with all kinds of issues. But we thank God today, amen, that our Lord and Savior dried up every issue, amen, so that we can have life on today. Amen. So He's still in the soul-saving business. Praise God. And we can encourage people who may not understand this salvation. We can help them to see the light by pointing them and directing them to the light. Amen. And letting them know, amen, as the scriptures say, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We certainly give God the praise, amen, on today. Glory to God. Amen. So in the previous messages, I've been dealing in the book of Revelations with the various letters that were written to the seven churches, which were in Asia. And we're going to be found once again in the book of Revelation. And our scripture text will be in Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 through 29, where it records the letter that was sent to the church at Thyatira, also referred to as the lax church. In terms of being lax, it suggests that something is not as firm as it once was. In the ethical sense, it is the state of being slack, negligent, loose, or careless. When a church is said to be lax concerning upholding the doctrine of truth and foundational teachings, it is to say that they are not strict when it comes to following the Word of God to the letter. Consequently, it creates an atmosphere where people are comfortable in sin, because loose morals or careless behavior are allowed. Having a lax attitude means you are not as serious about your spiritual walk with God as you should be, and unconcerned about His disapproval. Some do not see this as a dangerous state to be in, but it is. I don't know who to give credit to for this particular quote, but as it has been said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. If you are not firm in what you believe, subsequently, you will end up giving in to the will of the enemy. Given the evil day that we are living in and the uncertainty of these times, the last thing a born-again believer should want to be is negligent. Hebrews chapter 2 verses 1 through 3 reads, "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? It is of great importance for every one under the gospel to give the most earnest heed to what they have heard. We must embrace the scripture with our whole heart, retain them in our memories, and govern ourselves accordingly. Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Forgetful hearers put themselves in danger when they forget God and do not retain the word of God, or fail to remember the mercy and the grace that he has shown them. As the scripture says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There will be no escape for those who are disobedient. Amen. There will be no escape from condemnation. Amen. Because the wrath of God shall come upon the children of disobedience. As we look into the history of Thyatira, we find that it was the name of an ancient Greek city in Asia Minor, or in this modern day, the locale is the far west of Turkey. The city's connection to Christianity is seen in the book of Acts, chapter 16, where it reads or records the first conversion in Europe during the second or third missionary journey of Paul and Silas. Acts chapter 16 verses 14 and 15 says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worship God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Lydia demonstrated that she had a hunger and thirst for righteousness. She desired an opportunity to be taught and to receive further instructions from the apostle. And whether it was by her means that the gospel was brought into her own city is uncertain. But historians agree that Thyatira was a significant and successful church, and that was formed there. In other words, you know, they agree that, you know, it came about that a church was formed there. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 18 and 19, Jesus gives this church, the ministry, and the people commendation for their works. The scripture reads, "And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. It is noteworthy to point out that there were two types of people of which this church was comprised. There were those of honorable character and those who were wicked seducers that were compared to Jezebel, the wife of the degenerate King Ahab. As I mentioned in a previous message, it is not in how you start, but how you finish. There are saints and houses of God that were birthed into the gospel, but somewhere along the way, the message of the gospel became convoluted because they did not stick to the script. The Bible gives us to know in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, that the church was built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. There are doctrines that are taught in some churches that do not resemble anything that was taught by the apostles, prophets, or our master teacher, Jesus Christ. Some started with Jesus but ended in heresy. And the same question can be proposed to them that the Apostle Paul proposed to the church of Galatia. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Paul said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Continuing on in Revelation chapter 2, verse 3, we hear the complaint that the Lord had against the church at Thyatira. The scripture reads, Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. It is understood that the same spirit that was in Jezebel manifested itself in this church. Biblical references concerning who she was and all of her misdeeds are recorded throughout the book of 1 Kings chapter 5 verses 16, that's 1 Kings chapter 16 through 21, not verse 5, So Jezebel was a Phoenician princess, the daughter of Ithbaal, king of the Zidonians. Ahab, king of Israel, had taken her to wife which was to his detriment because she was an idolater. And going back to Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord had commanded Israel to be separate and forbade them to intermarry with adulterous nations. He said, "For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods." In 1 Kings chapter 11, we see the heartbreaking example of King Solomon, whose lapse in judgment to do the very thing that God told him not to do resulted in his downfall. Solomon had God-given wisdom, and there was none like him before or after him. But King Solomon loved many strange women. He took to wife women of the nations whom the Lord commanded his people not to marry. The scripture says, "Solomon clave unto these in love, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines." That's a lot of women. "And his wives turned away his heart from God, and he did evil in the sight of God." It was Solomon who declared in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 26, "For by means of a whorish woman," not a virtuous woman, but a whorish woman, "a man is brought to a piece of bread." And so therefore the same can be applied to his inglorious ending. The point to be made here is you cannot mix anything that is unholy with that which is holy, because it will eventually infect that which is holy. It will pervert, taint, or pollute a good thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." In other words, evil company corrupts good habits. It does not matter how strong you are in the Lord. Once you begin to play with fire, you will get burnt. So Ahab did evil in the sight of God and went and served Baal, which was the god of his wife. He even reared up an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he had built in Samaria. Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord and replaced them with 450 of her own, and introduced the abomination of Astarte worship in Israel. And she had these false prophets to eat at her table and made herself a prophetess. She had such a strong hold on her husband to the point that he was incapable of making sound decisions as king. Ahab was caught up in her seduction and did not see her as injurious to the nation, but allowed her influence to expand. One of the things that she did in one instance, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 9 through 30, was to paint her face to conceal who she was. And this can be used as an analogy showing how the enemy can disguise himself to appear more attractive in order to conceal corruption and his dark works. He knows how to make sin attractive in order to make it acceptable and appealing to the eye. To Thyatira's fault, they embrace the unholy thing. They allowed whoredom, witchcraft, seducing spirits, and false prophets to take over the vineyard of the Lord. The spirit of Jezebel in this latter day represents a controlling influence that is leading the saints of God away from perfect soundness into confusion, mixed up, and a godless religion. If we consider the body of Christ at large, it is divided, and everybody is not on the same page. Amen. Some have allowed false prophets to enter into their church to teach and seduce the people of God. They have allowed the spirit of Jezebel to take control of a holy institution and expand her influence throughout the world. They have allowed her to pervert the words of the living God and introduce licentious worship. And some leaders have violated the sanctity of true worship by inviting worldliness into the church and then commingling the doctrine of grace with worldviews. Any doctrine that promotes worldliness should be rejected. We were called out of the world to separation. So if God be God, then serve Him. If God be God, then stand for holiness. Stand for righteousness. It is time to bind the spirit of Jezebel and put her out, because her influence should not have the preeminence in a holy setting. The scripture says they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are religious leaders who are compromised and now calling right wrong and wrong right. They are now standing for what God is against. They're standing for what God is against. I have said it before and I will say it again. It is time for the people of God to amend their ways. Because should the Lord draw His breath from you, there are only one of two places that you're going. You're either going all the way to heaven or you will be cast into hell. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 21, the Lord said, "And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not." And so this is an example of the Lord's willingness to give the church and the members a chance to get back on track after derailment. But the fact that she would not repent shows that there are some people that believe that they're just right anyhow. And just like Jezebel, they believe that their authority cannot be overridden, not even by God. And what happens to people who refuse to humble themselves is that they will be abased. When those who exalt themselves fall, they will fall hard. In 1 Kings chapter 21, verses 23, the prophet Elijah was given a prophecy from the Lord saying, "The dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel." Now this did not happen in Elijah's day, Elijah, but in Elisha, who succeeded Elijah, in his day, when Jehu was anointed king over Israel, the word of the Lord came to Jehu through a young man who was also a prophet, to fulfill the word which he had spoken to Elijah concerning the cutting off of the whole house of Ahab and the portion that was to befall Jezebel. And so Jehu was the instrument God used to bring the house of Ahab down and his wife. In 2 Kings chapter 9, verses 30 through 37, it tells of how she was thrown to her death from a window. Some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall, and she was trampled underfoot by horses. When they went to bury her, there was nothing to be found except the skull, her feet, and the palms of her hand. So the word of the Lord was fulfilled, and the Lord also said, "And the carcass of Jezebel shall be as dung upon the face of the field in the portion of Jezreel, so that they shall not say, 'This is Jezebel.'" They didn't even know it was her. She died a horrible death. But the moral of this lesson concerning what was revealed about this woman is God's hatred for false prophets and false deities, and the fact that he will bring down or bring to an end that which offends him and that which does not edify. Regarding Thyatira, the Lord saw in them the same influences that dominated Israel in Jezebel's day. And likewise, the same offer was extended to them to repent. So, to those who are listening right now, if you do a self-examination and find that you are the church that the Lord is talking to today, while God is giving you a space to repent, don't hesitate. Do it today. Amen. In conclusion, it is noteworthy that the Lord Jesus acknowledged that not all in the church at Thyatira fell prey to the spirit of Jezebel or her influence. Revelations chapter 2 and 24 reads, "But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden." Verse 25, "But that which ye have already, hold fast till I come." Verse 26, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations." Verses 27 and 28, "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star." This is a word of encouragement and promise to those who keep themselves pure and undefiled. The letter ends with the usual demand for attention in verse 29. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." The takeaway that I receive regarding Thyatira is that the house was divided because there were two different mindsets. Some chose to follow Jesus and the truth, while others chose to follow demonically charged influences. And it is true to say that evil influences in the world has grown steadily, and some influences has infiltrated the church and will continue until the end. Leaders and parishioners alike must not let down their guard, but fight the good fight of faith. And part of the fight is exposing the devil for who he is, for calling sin for what it is, not being found in a place of compromise, and defending the truth at all cost. And while we have a chance, today, saints, to get our houses in order before he returns, because Jesus is coming back. And just like Thyatira, it's true to say that the church today is very much divided. And we have people who profess Christianity. And guess what? If you did a poll or survey, you find that we don't all believe the same thing. We are all not teaching the same thing. We're not walking in the same way. We're divided. And what did Jesus say? A house divided against itself shall not stand. But saints of God, if we want to be the church that the Lord is coming back for, that glorious church without spot, blemish, or any such thing, then now is the time to set things in order and be certain that we are not following the wrong influence, but that we are led by the Spirit of the living God. Amen, amen, and amen. God bless you.